welcome to the radio ministry of the Trinity United Methodist Church of Seymour, Indiana, on this Palm Sunday, the start of Holy Week. I want to thank George Ann Koontz for playing for us today and inviting us to begin our worship with the song Hosanna, Loud Hosanna. Today, this radio broadcast is sponsored by Bev Paffenberger. Thank you, Bev. If you have your Bible handy, you can follow along with this morning's scripture reading. It's from Luke chapter 19, starting with verse 37, going through verse 44. And that'll be followed by today's message. Let me read those verses for us. When he came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." "I tell you," he replied, "if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out." As he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it and said, "If you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes. The days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you and encircle you and hem you in on every side. They will dash you to the ground, you and the children within your walls. They will not leave one stone on another because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you." Let's join in prayer together. Lord, we imagine again those crowds of worshipers singing praises to you as they walked near your Son into Jerusalem. May we feel his presence near to us today, providing us with guidance and new strength in what will prove to be a challenging month. We ask this in the name of your Son, our Savior. Amen. Jesus' earthly journey was nearing its end as he entered the city of Jerusalem. And if you think about it, his journey is not really unlike ours. And the similarities, I believe, prompted the music writer Fanny Crosby to come up with a song in 1874, and we know that song today by the title, Close to Thee. In that song, which we haven't sung here since I've been here at this church, but it is rather well known, and in that song, you will discover that there are several scripture references that she uses to describe our journey. I'm going to try to point out how her song gives us some similarities to Jesus' own journey during this Holy Week. So in verse 1 of the song, Jesus is described as our everlasting portion. Fanny is taking that phrase right out of Psalm number 73, verse 26. It says there, "My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever." For the Hebrews, the idea of a portion represented a piece of land. It was a family share in the inheritance of the promised land. And because that land provided them with the means for surviving and even thriving, the word came down to describe being sufficient or being in plenty. So the portion represented you have enough. If you remember last week, our song mentioned about communing as friend with friend. Well, here in this verse, we find that Jesus is described as more than life, more than a friend. He is truly our companion on our journey, giving us more than we need, giving us more than life itself. And then when you look at the refrain of the first verse, you come to the words, close to thee. We truly are close to Christ during our journey. And I'm reminded when we are, we'll be singing this song later, how there were so many people who were close to Jesus on that Palm Sunday, walking with him into the city, singing Hosanna, giving their praise to God. If you look with me now to verse 2. Verse 2 focuses on our chosen lifestyle during our journey of faith. Truly, on that Palm Sunday, there were many who were close to Jesus who hoped that Jesus would give them a better life. They maybe hoped that Jesus would give them an easier life, would bring more pleasure to their life, would bring them fame, maybe fortune. If Jesus would be anointed king, life would be much better. But Fanny Crosby understood that our journey of faith is not always easy. It's not always comfortable. Fanny lived that kind of a lifestyle. It's said that whenever Fanny received anything, she would usually give it away. She was the kind of woman who gave everything away except what was necessary for daily survival. She was the farthest thing from being a hoarder. She gave away everything that was not necessary. In fact, she writes here in this verse that in our Christian journey, we will actually toil and suffer. There will be a cross to bear for staying close to Jesus. Fanny knew that firsthand. After she had gotten married, she gave birth to a daughter. But unfortunately, her daughter died at childbirth. Fanny was devastated. How heartbreaking to lose your daughter. But she knew that she was not immune to whatever would happen in life. She knew that in her Christian walk, she was not immune to tragedy or to suffering. In fact, Jesus came into Jerusalem and he came to toil. He came to suffer. And what he did in Jerusalem reminds us that in our journey, there too will be suffering for us. Just because we claim to be a Christian, there might be some who oppose us. There might be some who reject us or exclude us from their group because of what we stand for. Just because we follow Christ doesn't mean we won't face health challenges. That virus can come to any good Christian. We might face as Christians relationships that get strained or even broken or lost. As Christians, we too will face tragedies. We'll go through our time of suffering. On our journey, there will be times, just like Fanny faced, just as Jesus faced. But there's one thing about this verse that probably catches your eye more than anything. It says there that gladly will I toil and suffer. Really? Gladly? Is that something we can really sing? No one would want to sing about wanting to suffer. And all of us might pause right there, wondering, do I gladly suffer? If you remember the story as Holy Week unfolded, Jesus mentioned on that Thursday night to his disciples about the time of suffering that was coming to him. And to a man, Peter and all the other disciples promised Jesus that no matter what happened to him, they would stand with him. They would be willing to suffer for him. They'd be willing to die for him. But in a matter of hours, their words proved false. When it came time to really suffer, they ran. They were not willing to suffer. Yet I wonder if we might sing gladly if we knew God was using our suffering. If we knew God would somehow take that suffering and either for us or for someone else, turn it into some kind of a blessing. If you remember when Jesus came to that cross, He accepted that suffering because He knew it would allow new life. New life to be offered to all of us. So He gladly chose to go to the cross. Perhaps in our time of suffering, the question that we often ask is why, but maybe our better question to ask is, how can God use this for good? Can God turn this into someone's good, mine or someone else? Have you ever seen good come out of suffering? Have you ever suffered and then looked back and saw God using it? I want to tell you about a woman named Lynn. Before this coronavirus crisis, many years before, Lynn was dealing with breathing issues. Lynn had asthma, and sometimes her asthma got so bad that she had to go to the ER of the hospital and get some treatment. Well, on this particular day, Lynn found herself sitting in the waiting room at the ER, waiting to be taken care of again. She was kind of frightened, wondering, you know, what are they going to do this time and how bad it's going to be. She was thinking about herself. But two seats away from her, an empty seat between them, was a little boy. A 5-year-old boy whose name was Dominic. Dominic was sitting with his mother on his other side of her, and she could tell, Lynn could tell, that Dominic had a bandage on his head. So obviously he'd had an accident and he needed to come to the ER to get checked out. Well, for a 5-year-old, being in the ER was not where he wanted to be and probably a first-time experience for him. So Lynn looked over at Dominic, and Dominic looked pretty frightened. So Lynn thought a moment, and she thought, well, maybe I can help distract this little boy from the fear he's feeling. So Lynn scooted over into the empty seat between them. She got out her phone, and she looked at Dominic. She said, would you like to look at some pictures of animals on my phone? Well, he looked at his mom, and his mom, of course, said, fine, that's all right. So Dominic started looking through Lynn's phone, and Lynn showed him all the pictures she had. She scrolled down through the pets that she had. She scrolled down through some other pictures. Dominic is looking at all these, pointing some of them out, mentioning to his mom about there's a doggy or there's a cat or whatever he happened to see. He was giving his mom a good commentary on what he saw. Well, after a while, as they were looking at these pictures, Lynn happened to notice across the room there was one other person in the waiting room. This was an older lady sitting by herself, and she was quietly crying to herself. Well, as Lynn looked at her, she thought, well, maybe we can do something to help her. So Lynn asked Dominic and her mother, or his mother, says, can we go over there and sit with that woman and try to make her feel better? Well, Dominic was excited about helping somebody else. So together they went across and sat down next to this lady. Lynn introduced herself and said they'd like to come and show some pictures to her of her animals on her phone. So the lady kind of stopped crying for a moment, and she introduced herself and shook Dominic's hand as he introduced himself. And together, all three of them started looking through the phone at the pictures. And then the lady took out her own phone and said, I have some pictures too of some animals and my grandkids. Would you like to look at those? And Dominic was excited too. He wanted to see some more pictures. So the two of them started looking at pictures on her phone. And pretty much Lynn noticed what had happened. She stopped paying attention to her own asthma difficulties. Dominic stopped paying attention to the fear of being in the room or any pain he was feeling. The woman was not crying anymore, but concentrating on this little boy. And Dominic's mother was smiling. And Lynn realized, on that day when she was suffering, on that day when Dominic was suffering, on that day when that lady was suffering, God guided Lynn to find some good out of the situation, to bring some good, some peace, some calm into that difficult room. She realized that must have been God's inspiration to bring that good out of that time of suffering. Lynn was almost glad that she had to come to the ER that day because she was able to help some other friends that she met there. Sometimes that's how God works. We don't look for suffering. We don't anticipate it. We're not excited by it. But sometimes God will put us in the right place, in the right situation, where God can work His work in their lives. Sometimes we might actually later on be able to gladly speak of our suffering because of what God had accomplished. Well, let me look at this last verse with you. As often she does, Fanny shares with us there an eternal hope at the end of the song. She speaks in this verse about a veil of shadows. She takes that phrase right out of Psalm 23. You remember where it speaks about the valley of the shadow of death. Well, that's what she's speaking about here. As we go through that valley, we know that in the next phrase, there is a gate of life eternal waiting for us. And that phrase again comes right out of the Bible. It's out of the last chapter, Revelation chapter 22, where it speaks about the believers in Christ going through the gate that leads to life eternal. But she adds in this moment, in this verse, the idea that we don't just walk through that gate of life eternal. We go with Jesus through that gate. We are ushered into eternal life. If you think about it, on this Palm Sunday, Jesus entered a gate. He entered the gate of Jerusalem. And that gate represented death. Because of His arrival that day, Jesus was sealing His own fate. And He would face a cross later in the week. And even as He went through that gate, He told the people that this gate also represented the death of their nation. Because in just a few generations, they would face a horrible fate. The stones would be pulled down around the entire city. And generations would be lost. The Jerusalem gate represented death. But Fanny reminds us there is a different gate, the gate of life eternal, where we will someday enter it, speaking our hosannas and shouting our praise to God. So as we look at this song, how is this song your song? When you think about this song, are you struck by the fact that Jesus is more than sufficient on our journey? That He's more than life, more than a friend, more than we could ever hope for? Or maybe this is your song because of Fanny speaking about expecting good even in times of suffering. That God can take times of suffering and turn them into a blessing. Or maybe this is your song because you need, perhaps, to be sustained today by that hope of walking through a gate, arm in arm with Christ someday. Whatever way this can be your song, there were many close to Jesus that Sunday morning. May we each stay close to Him on our own journey. Would you pray with me, please? Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for Jesus coming through that gate on Palm Sunday morning. We thank You that He made that decision and would confirm it later to go through this time of toil and suffering, not because He deserved it, but because He knew what that cross could do, what it would finally accomplish, all the good it would bring for us. Lord, we thank You for His choice. And we thank You for reminding us on our Christian journey that He is close to us, that we can count on Him to be more than sufficient. We can count on Him to even use times of suffering. And He can keep our eyes fixed on that entrance into heaven someday. Lord, continue to walk close to us in our journey. And we will praise You every day. And we'll continue to stay close to You through our prayers. And this morning especially, we want to pray the prayer that Jesus taught His disciples to pray. So Lord, hear us as again we offer to You our Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. We're going to close our worship today with the singing of Fanny Crosby's song, Close to Thee. If you have a copy of that song handy, I invite you wherever you are now to please join us in singing this hope-filled song.
More than friend or life to me, all along my pilgrim journey, Savior, let me walk with Thee. Close to Thee, close to Thee, close to Thee, close to Thee, all along my pilgrim journey, Savior, let me walk with Thee. Not for ease or worldly pleasure, nor for fame my prayer shall be. Gladly will I toil and suffer, only let me walk with Thee. Close to Thee, close to Thee, close to Thee, close to Thee. Gladly will I toil and suffer, only let me walk with Thee. Lead me through the veil of shadows, bear me o'er life's fitful sea. Then the gate of life eternal, may I enter, Lord, with Thee. Close to Thee, close to Thee, close to Thee, close to Thee. Then the gate of life eternal,